Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Our Saturday night session, Dave Bryan and David Todd. Dave, I'm just driving out of Latrobe. You got me at just the right time. Steelers finished up a practice. As you know, they get down on the field about 2:55. They do some walkthroughs, and then they do their stretching drills. They get kind of at the positional stuff and the larger work, you know, around 4 o'clock. And today they went till 5:15, 5:20. And it was a good practice. It's the first time these guys have been back here since Tuesday. So it's been a while, and they seem to get at it reasonably well.
Let's go over the injuries real quick first, David. Of course, Mike Adams in that knee sprain of his that Mike Tomlin refused to frame at all a time length on. Looks like he's going to be out at least a week. It might even be more than that. But
Dave, I got to say, just my view on that, if he's out this whole week and doesn't get any practice time, the chances of him winning a starting job go to zero. I guess if he came back, they play Sunday night, and if he came back next Tuesday and just wowed them, maybe there'd be a chance. But I just really think he's, with the performance he had, which, you know, it wasn't a disaster, but it certainly was not a big step forward. The pass blocking was, as you've talked about and we've talked about, it was not good. So, you know, I think he's going to take himself out of the running here if he's out, you know, if he misses a whole week of practice.
And I'm with you, too. You know, if he doesn't play this week, you have to think that's it for his chances. And working in his place today, and you tweeted this right at the beginning there, you know, when they first went through the walkthroughs, Marcus Gilbert opened up at left tackle. I believe Ramon Foster opened up at right tackle. Willie Colon was back at left guard. David DeCastro, of course, right guard. And Marquise Pouncey center. So it looks like that's going to be our starting five for the game against Indianapolis.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. Is I think you've now got the starting interior guys are set, and they're not going to change. It's going to be Colon, it's going to be Pouncey, and it's going to be David DeCastro. He's without them maybe officially saying it, he's kind of won that job now. He did enough in that first game that they want to get guys set. And the fact, again, you know, we talk about position versatility and what some of these guys can do. The fact that Foster can swing around and do some different things, but maybe it works a little to his disadvantage in competing for that job. But because DeCastro is going to eventually have that job, they want to get set there, move forward, and now think about the tackle positions. I'm surprised that they moved Marcus Gilbert over. He wasn't good on Thursday night, and you think they just like to keep him one spot and let him focus on that. I guess now the 32nd thing that comes to mind is maybe Max Starks isn't going to be back this week. And if that's the case, now you've got some issues to tackle. You really do, and you got to think about it. And Gilbert's there. He was there. I don't know that I would necessarily fully pencil him in as a starter against Indianapolis at left tackle, but it's certainly a possibility.
Well, and to add on what you said there, Jim Wexel tweeted out that Sean Kugler said after practice that David DeCastro's the first, you know, starting right guard now, so that looks like that's a done deal. You know, you're not going to put Trey Essex out there at left tackle. You can't do that. And you know, and Mike Tomlin after practice as well said the five guys on the PUP will not be evaluated again until after the game against Indianapolis. So that's going to rule out Max Starks there. So they're going to have no choice but to start Marcus Gilbert over there, I believe, at left tackle this week. And as you said, the interior three, that's set. That's a done deal now for the week one game in Denver, of course, barring injury, of course. And as you also noted, you know, and we've talked about Ramon Foster, is at a disadvantage now because he does have the position flexibility. And he's going to likely start at right tackle against Indianapolis, and then we'll see how long it takes for Max Starks to come off PUP. But to me, that's the way it looks right now, at least heading into this next preseason game.
Yeah, and look, at the beginning of camp, this is kind of what we expected. You know, expected Foster to end up being a backing up guys at guard, and he could play tackle. This isn't how you'd like to have it happen. And I guess I just go back to the fact that you know, they signed Max Starks, and I assumed when they signed him that he would be ready to go a couple weeks into the preseason. Now, obviously, we're only 1 week into the preseason, so they signed Max 5 weeks in last year and started him right away. So he doesn't need a ton of practice time. But if you felt like Max was going to be able to come back and do it, maybe they want to just make sure they see him a little bit coming off the D-entry, then I think you wouldn't move Marcus Gilbert. But if he spends a week over on the left side and just gets comfortable doing it so that people know he can do it and he knows he can do it, then so be it. The other guys who are injured, the two guys who sat out, Willie Colon obviously back, Cameron Hayward back and looking good today. But Kiesel missed the game because of the birth of his child. He was back. Came in kind of midway through practice. The other guys injured in the game, of course, John Dwyer was out. Looks like he's going to be out maybe probably a week, I would imagine, just because they don't want to, there's no reason to push him. He looked good in the game, and I think he has solidified his position as the number two back behind Isaac Redman. And then David Gilworth, I guess I talked to Scotty Montgomery, the receiver coach. He had a little bunion or something on his foot. Nothing serious. I don't think he played in the game. And then he didn't go today, but they expect him back any day. I saw that somebody had tweeted that Jimmy Young didn't practice, but I actually think he did practice. I saw him out there. He had his gear on, so he would have been the one guy out there in gear running around. I thought I saw him catch a couple balls as well, so somebody can double-check that. But other than that, and then I heard today that maybe Kapanos is out for 3 to 4 weeks, which opens up that punting job in a big way, and that's something we hadn't heard. Specifically, so Dale Lawler told me that today on the show on 970, and we'll try to follow up on that, but that would certainly make that a wide-open competition.
Bob Labriola is the one, and I'm the one that tweeted that Gilreath, Jimmy Young, he also said cornerback Andre Freeman sat out today as well, too. Did you notice Andre Freeman running around at all?
I hadn't heard anybody say it one way or the other, so I just, I'd have to look at the tape. So it didn't stick out one way or the other.
One thing with, getting back to Gilbert real quick, you know, he started the first preseason game last year at left tackle and all, and here's my question here. What if Gilbert has a good game this week against the Colts, and what if Ramon Foster is serviceable, at right tackle there? You know that allows you to have Max Starks then become your swing tackle because Max originally started at right tackle, you know, in his early days on the Steelers and all. So, and you know, hey, maybe Marcus Gilbert would be a little bit of motivated here, coming off that performance the other night, which was not great. And Marcus Gilbert all offseason said that, hey, if he had his druthers, he would rather play left tackle position. You know, he played in college there, so. Just wanted to throw that out, just something to watch.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thought. I mean, I really hope as a professional athlete that's not what's going to drive Marcus Gilbert, but certainly the opportunity to get better and to redeem himself a little bit after this week's performance is probably on his mind. And it's a good question, Dave, because the question, what if Marcus Gilbert has a great game at left tackle, would you consider actually sliding back starts to right tackle? It's just that, I think you'd rather have Ramon Foster be backing up the interior guys. And could you actually think about flipping those guys? Now, I don't think that's what you want to do if you're thinking about the long-term future of things, because I really do think Mike Adams is going to be your left tackle, and having Gilbert over on the left side probably doesn't serve him well in the longer term. But if you feel like, for whatever reason, I just don't think you can shelve Mike Adams for the season right here just because he had a rough,
No. And I'm not shelving him for the season.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, just in terms of us thinking about things, I'd like to know when they think Max is going to be back. And if it's after the Indy game, then even if he had a good game, I'd swing him right back over to the right side.
Yeah, and that's a distinct possibility, too. Everything I think right now at this time revolves around the health of Max Starks and that knee. But on the flip side, do you want to rush him if Marcus Gilbert does have a good game?
No, I don't think you want to rush him either way. I mean, you know, when he's ready, he's ready, and that's just the way you got to play it.
And a couple things that stuck out to you at practice, I think, and we talked about Robert Golden on the show on Friday there. A couple of nice plays by him. I think Sean Spence had a good collision with Will Johnson, I read. Any highlights from today?
Yeah, Dave, a couple of things stood out. As they mentioned, you know, we saw them kind of open up the offense a little bit. And, you know, it's the further along. It's basically the start of week 3 for them at practice. but it's also they're past the Eagles, and the Eagles are a team they're going to play in week five of the regular season, so maybe they didn't want to throw a lot of stuff out there that the Eagles might then have on film and be able to game plan for. I think it's just a natural progression, but a lot of one-on-one stuff with the DBs and the wide receivers, which was interesting. Robert Golden made some good plays in that. You mentioned him. And Tyler Beiler, I think, now has really maybe separated himself. I don't want to say that he's won a job. That would be way too extreme. But he's done some good things. Scotty Montgomery, in our conversation, talked about the back shoulder catch that he made in the game Thursday night. And he said, look, I need to see guys do it. I need to see better playmaking. I need to see guys do it when the pressure's on. And we got a big play when we needed one. And if you know, none of the other guys really did anything. Now, some of that's on the offensive line and a variety of other things. But nobody did much. So I would say, if they were going to make the team tomorrow, Tyler Beiler would be on that team. Probably stuck his nose ahead of the other guys. I think in order, or the next group of guys, would be Derek Williams, Tony Clements, and Marquise Mays. And I think, Gilray obviously hurts himself a little bit by not being able to play. And Young and Jamoris Smith or whatever his name is.
Stewart,
I don't think those guys are really in the mix. We saw some good tight end on defensive end work, the tight end on defensive lineman work. We saw some packs on tight end. So, it was a physical practice. In terms of guys standing out in the drills, I tweeted a little bit about it, but I don't know that anybody kind of looked – offense, and that with the nickels were, as you would expect, Cortez Allen and both Keenan Lewis were on the field with Ike Taylor as the corners. There was no nose tackle. Brett Kiesel was back then, and he was running alternately with Ziggy and with Cam Hayward, who was back. So, it all looked good. The linebacker situation we saw Brandon Johnson a little bit more on the inside today. In terms of, some more special teams work. A lot of that actually today with some hitting in the special teams at the line of scrimmage. Ryan Mundy was the up back in the punt protection. That was one noticeable thing. And Chris Rainey, again, a couple nice explosive plays from Rainey over the course of the scrimmage.
Everybody's talking about the collision between Sean Spence and Will Johnson today. Did you see that?
I heard it. I turned around. I was blocked by some of the players on the field, so I did hear it, and it was a loud one. It had a lot of guys chirping, but I did not actually literally see it.
Larry Foote evidently was talking about that 20 minutes after it happened, so... That had to be a pretty good collision there. Getting back to the wide receivers real quick, with Tyler Beiler, we got the offense snaps charted and all like that. And it was definitely Derek Williams and Tony Clemens that came in after, the starters left, along with Marquise Mays played in the slot. And then after that group left out of there, the ending wide receivers were Tyler Beiler and Stewart there. So we'll see if that changes. That's something to look for, to see if Beiler maybe gets some of those second-team snaps here this week against Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's good information, and definitely look at that. The other thing, Dave, is I got a chance to talk to Adrian Robinson for a few minutes and ask him about his setup. He was down in a 3-point, 4-point stance even at times, and that was something that not used to seeing from him. So, he said, he basically said linebacker coach Keith Butler told him, to whatever he can do to get off the ball is what he should do. And if that's what works best, that's what worked best. Now, I don't know that I've seen a Steeler linebacker in a 4-point stance ever. So I'm not sure that going forward that that's going to be used. And the other thing is you do clearly signal to the offense that you're coming. So, we'll see how that goes going forward. But he said, he was reasonably pleased with his performance and needed to have some things to work on after seeing the film, making sure he got his assignments right all the time. And we've heard about that kind of ad nauseum from guys like Keith Butler about what these guys have to do. But, he's the guy who impressed. He impressed in the film, and I think the coaches came away reasonably impressed as well.
definitely a practice squad candidate, and you agree.
Oh, I think at worst he's going to make the practice squad, and he's got an outside shot at making the 53, depending on how he does on special teams.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that will boil down to some of these roster spots now that DJ's injured and all like that, and you never know. Maybe there is another linebacker spot open, depending on what happens with Worlds and all like that with that injury, whether or not he has to start on PUP, which is probably doubtful. But, that's a guy we've talked about for a while, Adrian Robinson. So that's good info there. And did you talk –
Of the undrafted free agents, Adrian Robinson, Robert Golden, and Marquise Mays are the guys who probably have done the most to impress and put their name in the conversation.
Did you have an interview with Adrian, you said?
I spoke with him. I talked to him.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you had some tape on that. That'd be interesting to listen to. So.
Yeah, there's some tape out there, but there were some other people involved, and when that's the case, it's better for me to just pass along the information.
All right, good deal. Anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap up this 15-20-minute episode here?
No, I think things are as planned. The injury to Adams is obviously going to be what's going on in the offensive line is going to be the focus of what happens here. The Steelers don't have to cut down to 75, I think, till August 27th. So they're a long way from that, and there's a lot of work still to be done. So, well, some fans might be there's a legitimate concern about what happens in the offensive line. I wouldn't panic just yet, and we'll see how things play over the next week.
No bridge jumping then. And they cut down to 80s the number, I think, on the next cut, on the first cut, David, and then they go from there. So all right, well, that's great information, David. And you gonna be back out there Sunday, or are you off?
Yeah, no, I'll be Dale Lawley and I'll be on 970 ESPN and Steelers Radio Network, Steelers Nation Radio, 12 to 2 tomorrow, Sunday, and then I'll be at practice, and then I'll be on Monday through Wednesday, 2 to 4, and we'll have a couple ancillary shows at night, 6 to 8, with Tom Bradley.
Good info as always, brother. That's why you're on these things with me. And follow David on Twitter at Hammer Speaks. Make sure you tune in 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio. And participate in the show. He opens up those phone lines as well too. So if you got a question or comment, make sure you hit the phone lines with David there. David, I appreciate your time on the drive back, and we'll be talking soon.
And as always, thanks for listening to the special Saturday night edition of the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.